I thought about this, sir, we would see Jesus. And a thought occurred to me as we were in Sunday school. We were talking about salvation and conversion and witnessing. And we got on the subject of the thief on the cross. And who better to behold Christ at first hand than the thief who was right beside him for the crucifixion? So we're going to read about that. Let's go back to Luke chapter 23. And as you turn, I'm going to want to say that this word behold is not just look. It's not just see. It has this idea of drawing attention and being attentive and using your eyes to behold something in a way that is important. And it's a higher call to action than just look and see. This idea of behold is that's all we're looking at when we're called to behold Christ. And let's start reading here in Luke chapter 23, verse 26. And as they led him away, and this is the crucifixion after Jesus is tried, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done to the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to put to death. And here we see the first mention of this thief, led with Christ to Calvary. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they were crucified. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, and interesting here, we have those who are beholding and we have those who are deriding as Christ is on this cross. And they say, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And here is one of the first messages given by somebody who saw Christ and learned of his crucifixion. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And my thought, as I dwelt on this, is that we look at these two verses that happened in a very short period of time. But I want you to understand that the crucifixion was not a short event. The crucifixion of Christ took place over hours of agony and torture. And this thief beheld Christ firsthand as he bled and died for us. And I thought, when did this thief's heart turn? Was it in an instant? Likely not. Was this thief convicted of his sin before he was led with Christ to Calvary? Or was it his beholding Christ over this period of time where he first meets Christ as Christ is carrying his cross with a crown of thorns, bleeding profusely, and his visage marred beyond any other, that he beholds Christ and starts understanding who Christ is? And I'd like to point out a few things that he beheld during this time. The first thing he beholds the selflessness of Christ. We see that in what he talks about. When you see him, he's carrying his cross, and he hears the women of Jerusalem weeping for him. And his thought is not for me. His thought is, weep not for me. Daughters, weep for yourselves. Weep for what's coming, because he knows that persecution will be coming. We see this in his words toward those who crucified him. As he's hanging on a cross after this, how he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We see this in how he treats those who are there, and especially his mother. He takes the time to make sure his mother's taken care of. By his telling the disciple John, this is now your mother, and that she goes with him. We see this heart of Christ, but mostly we see it in his quiet submission to the cup that the Father had of him. The suffering that he was to endure, physical suffering and spiritual suffering. The book of Isaiah talks about this, where he says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But it says of him later, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Behold the Lamb of God. How he quietly understood what he was supposed to do. How he quietly, for the joy set before him, endured the suffering of the cross for your sin and for mine. This thief beholds this suffering, and it was a suffering like no other. We see Christ, how he is beaten, he's mocked, he's spit on, his beard is ripped out, he's scourged, he's beaten over the head, he's given a crown of thorns that is beat upon his head. He has to carry the weight of his own cross. He submits to the nails being driven through his hands and his feet. And he suffers and is crucified. And he goes through that physical anguish for us. And this thief is sitting there watching this man next to him bleed and suffer. Yet he opens not his mouth. He is as a lamb that is slaughtered for us. And then he witnesses and beholds the spiritual anguish of Christ. As Christ is nearing his death, he says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I want you to understand this point. I have children. And I can imagine my children, if anything happened where they looked at me and they realized my Father has forsaken me, I can't imagine the anguish they might feel at that. But imagine God Almighty, God Eternal, God the Son, who has had perfect fellowship with his Father for eternity, suddenly realizes that for our sin that God has placed on him, the judgment that is placed on him for us, now has to realize that God has turned his back and forsaken him for the first time ever. And this thief witnesses this event. And at some point during this process, this thief starts to get it. This thief who, or another gospel talks about that both thieves railed on him at one point, this thief starts to realize something's different with this guy. Thank God we all realized that at one point in our lives, did we not? That there's something different about Christ. There's something different about Jesus. And at this moment, we read that one malefactor says something, and this other thief stands up for Christ. He says, uh-uh. Don't you understand what's happening here? We're getting our due reward. And this is the gospel for the first time. So clearly, by a thief who had no idea really what he was talking about at the time, right? Here's a thief who did not have the New Testament at the time. He did not know that Christ was resurrected at the time. He knew only one thing. He was beholding the Lamb of God. And that this man was the Son of God, and that he needed him to save him. Because he turns to that thief and he says, no. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But we're receiving what we deserve. But he's done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. And he turns to Christ, and we see that repentance for the first time in the thief's heart. And he says, remember me. He has no idea what the promises of the New Testament are at this point. But Jesus gives the first promise to this thief, and he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. After this, he witnesses and beheld Christ cry that it is finished. And Jesus gives up the ghost and dies. But it's interesting to think about the fact that the thief doesn't die at this point. He dies later on. But he sees Christ die. And in the book of Matthew, it says, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and beheld the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And what's interesting is this thief got a front row seat to some pretty miraculous things. And this darkness, and what happens when Jesus dies, even this centurion has to proclaim that this man was the Son of God. And I love the fact that this veil of the temple was torn in two at this point. That veil separated man from the mercy seat and the holy holies of God. Before this time, the only way to enter that place, to enter that holiest presence of God, was to be an anointed priest of Israel. And there was rituals or things you had to go through, because if that priest walked into that behind that veil and wasn't properly prepared in his heart and by what God had ordained, he was dead. God takes it very seriously how we approach his throne. Yet, when Christ finally pays the ultimate sacrifice, so that no other lamb or bullock or anything needs to be slain ever again for our sin, God is sitting there, and I see him in heaven with his hands like this, and as Jesus Christ gives up the ghost, he goes, rip. Mercy is now accessible to all. We can now enter the Holy of Holies. And it is free for all because the final sacrifice, the final substitute has been paid. And I love this story because it shows that the gospel does not have to be complicated. But it is a working of the heart to repentance. And in order to have to understand our repentance and understand our salvation, we must behold the Lamb of God. And by way of application, I believe most of the people in this room are likely saved. But there were two thieves that day, and one beheld the same exact thing, but he did not repent. He did not behold the Lamb of God. He decided to rail on him and maintain that hard heart. Which will you be? Will you behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Or will you rail on him? And we read that verse where those who are saying, if thou be the Christ, get down, save yourself, then we'll believe. Don't wait for a miracle that's not going to happen, just because you don't understand what's really happening, because you're not beholding Christ for who he truly is. And my challenge to us as a church and as a people and as Christians There are no other opportunities for people today to behold the Lamb of God firsthand. The people, the lost people of this world, cannot see Christ crucified in real time, as this thief did. But the only Christ, the first Jesus Christ, that the lost of this world are going to see is us. And do we have these same qualities of Christ? Do we suffer with his temperament? Are we sacrificing and thinking of others the way he would? And more importantly, when they see us and we bring them to this church, does this church portray Jesus in the same way? Because at the end of the day, as this pulpit says right here, sir, we would see Jesus. That has got to be our cry, is we would show them Jesus. And we take these lessons from this thief, and we thank God that God saves. We thank God for his crucifixion and for his punishment, but we thank God for forgiveness and his resurrection and the victory we have. And like the apostles talk about in Acts, we cannot help but say what we have seen. Behold the Lamb of God. Let him be our focus for ourselves and for our church, for our future, no matter who stands here. We would behold the Lamb of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this example of this thief that shows us, Lord, that even in your suffering, Lord, you love us, Lord, and that repentance can be found by beholding you. Father, we just pray you'd be with us, Lord, for the remainder of this day. Lord, bless the other services, Father, and we just pray safety as we travel. In Jesus' name, amen.